shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters. Our topic today is how the Kenosha County Division of Health and the Kenosha Community Health Center are fighting the COVID-19 pandemic. My guests are Jen Freiheit, PhD and a Master Certified Health Education Specialist. That's gratefully usually called by the initials MCHES. She is the director of the Kenosha County's Division of Health. She has worked in state, Milwaukee, and local public health leadership roles since 2002. The mission of the County Division of Health is to ensure and implement the delivery of health services to prevent disease, promote health, promote wellness, and preserve a healthy environment for all in the county. Also with me this morning is Dr. Mary Wiemet. She is a doctor of nursing practice and a registered nurse. Dr. Wiemet is the chief executive officer of the Kenosha Community Health Center, Inc. The center is a community-based, not-for-profit medical services organization. She was recently appointed to her current position by the board. The Community Health Center's mission is to promote and improve the health of the medically underserved population in Kenosha County. The KCHC primarily provides preventive, primary, and supplemental health care services. KCHC does this in ways that can best meet client needs and regardless of a patient's ability to pay. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Now, a note to the listeners, this program was recorded on the morning of Friday, May 1st, 24 hours before this broadcast. Let's begin by looking at the recent news, please, and then we'll go deeper. As many people have noticed, a third of the parking lot in front of the Madrigano Conference Center at Gateway Tech College in Kenosha is now taken up by the lanes of traffic created for use by patrons of your new testing center. A large truck is parked along 30th Avenue alongside the administration building. Tell us what's going on there and what isn't. Mary, would you like to kick it off from the Kenosha Community Health Center? And Jen, would you then pick it up and join in from the Division of Health, please?
Sure. I sure would love to start off. Good morning. What you see there is the Kenosha County COVID-19 Medical Mobile Response Unit that is operated by the Kenosha Community Health Center. That is our first use of the mobile unit to really serve the community in terms of a testing site. Testing site is really coming to play as part of really a lot of hard work over the last month. So we are currently testing individuals who are either referred to us by the Division of Health on Jen's team or our own patient base. So we're starting off with a very limited scope right now, and we're excited about it.
Yes, and I would just add that within Kenosha County, we have a desperate need for more testing to occur. We have since the beginning of this pandemic. And in order to get good data that allows us to reopen the economy, that allows us to take care of our residents and to minimize sickness and death, we need more testing. So we are very excited for this partnership so that we can get testing out to the residents who need it, and for all of the clients that our health department serves, who are close contacts to a positive, who are living in a household with a positive person, and we want to be able to test them again so that we can box in this pandemic.
Well, that's great. Now, up until now, it was my understanding that a medical doctor had to authorize a test and only a person with symptoms would qualify. Has that changed this past week with the opening of your testing center at the Gateway Technical College?
Yes,
no.
That has changed in that just last week, health department put out that more, they had testing tiers before, and yes, the thing was that only providers could order a test and only if somebody was pretty severely sick. Last week they put out new testing guidelines to say that we should be able to test anybody with mild symptoms, and our state lab of hygiene and other labs, we now have 50 different labs in the state of Wisconsin that our lab capacity and our collection kit capacity has greatly increased this last week. So that is where we should be looking to test much more within Kenosha County through not just the Kenosha Community Health Center, but our hospitals and all of the providers as well.
Jen, do you have some comment on that?
Sure. This is Mary. In order to receive a test, so for those patients who run through the mobile testing unit, they will be evaluated by a licensed provider. And as is true in most circumstances, the licensed provider evaluates and basically writes the order for the test. So there is an order for the test that hasn't changed from the perspective of Kenosha Community Health Center. So that is part of the process, and we'll go through the process here on the call.
Can public health department personnel order or test or make referrals for a test?
Well, we research.
That is what we are doing. Oh, go ahead, Mary.
Go ahead. We'll get this rhythm right. We will.
As we're receiving disease investigations for every positive, we do have the list of those close contacts or household contacts that we are referring over to the community health center.
So the public health department, there was a bit of a dropout there, Jen. The public health department can make referrals. Is that right?
Correct.
Good. Now, Jen, this is for you, Jen Freiheit. The health department said Wednesday that there was an average of 61 tests being performed in Kenosha daily. That number seemed a little low to some of us concerning our surroundings, the many health provider locations, and the many large businesses. Are there additional test results coming from other sources, or is that the whole Magilla?
You cut out there at the beginning of the question. Are you asking about the number of tests?
The average was 61 tests being performed daily. Is that still the count? And are there additional tests that are being performed elsewhere in manufacturing plants and whatnot?
So the average of 61 daily was as of Monday. This past week, though, we have had the National Guard in our community, and we are able to get many more collection kits to be able to help businesses who have outbreaks to get tested. So that number will drastically change after the data from this week and in the coming weeks.
Is it that the tests are all being done under your auspices and the hospitals? Are there any other places at meatpacking or warehouses or anything like that going on at this time?
Exactly. There's a couple of businesses. This past week, you might have heard the Kenosha County Detention Center in the pretrial facility. We were able to test all employees and all inmates, and so that will drastically adjust the amount of numbers of collection kits we have average per day. And then we are also looking to get into some of our businesses next week that have small outbreaks so that we can be proactive and help them to test all of their employees.
Jen, what is the goal for testing at Gateway Tech in Kenosha? We had heard 250 a day at one point.
Well, I'll start and I'll let Mary sort of complete the sentences. Based upon a Harvard algorithm that sort of gives us the number that we want to reach in order to say that we can contain this disease. And for Kenosha County, that's 257 tests being run a day. Now, that is not just all on the community health center. That is with all of the providers, our two hospital systems, everybody testing at a much higher capacity for us to be able to reach that 257. But I'll let Mary answer for the drive-through testing site at Gateway.
Great. As we're starting off the testing site, our minimal goal is 50 per day, and that's just to give us the opportunity to get our processes down pat, to ramp up, make sure that we have adequate supply, not only of testing materials, but also the protective equipment that we need. So we're trying to just make sure we always have adequate supplies and that we are, you know, that we can continue the service predictably. So we're going to get going this week. Today is our second day on Friday. And next week, we're going to follow through with our plan for our 3 days of testing. And our 50 per day goal is what we're going to try to aim for.
We had heard recently that our peak in Kenosha County was going to be in the early days of June, if I recall. Jen Freiheit, is that still your estimate that we're going to peak in the first week of June?
Not necessarily. Those projection models change rapidly based upon whatever factors or circumstances happen daily. So, for example, if there's protests where a large number of people are gathering without masks or that sort of thing, if there's a big outbreak in a business, that could alter the projection model. The fact that we're doing increased testing on a much grander scale this week will affect the projection model. So next week we'll be able to run new modeling and see a new peak date. It could go one of two ways with increased testing. It could flatten the curve even more, in which our peak would be pushed out to later June. Right now it's sort of looking like June 22nd if we can keep flattening the curve. Or with an outbreak, it can push our peak earlier. So that is where we are just trying to keep on top of the data and put new projection modeling out. It's not a perfect many, many factors that go into it, but it's the best data that we can have to try to project and prepare so that our hospital systems aren't overrun and that we can still contain this virus.
I'll ask Mary to respond to this, and then Jen, you could chime in. Mary, we met at the Community Health Center. We've noticed that Lake County has had many cases and deaths. How does that affect us here in the Kenosha, Racine, Walworth area that our signal reaches? Has it peaked in Lake County yet?
Well, I will probably have to really defer that question to Jen, although we do know there are a number of individuals who work for essential businesses that travel here from those counties. So there's a lot of attention paid to our surrounding areas, not only for the patients who we serve and where they're coming from, but also I'm sure Jen would get into much greater detail about how they track the activity around the county and then inform us so we always have our eyes and ears open.
Jen, what's your perspective from the health department on what's going on in Lake County? And as Mary mentioned, it's true, a huge proportion of Kenosha residents commute to Lake County.
What's being reported is that their healthcare systems are overrun right now, that they are feeling stressed right now. Their numbers are increasing. Lake County and especially Cook County, they received positive cases 3 to 4 weeks before Kenosha County did. So, even when we look at Milwaukee and Waukesha counties, they received positive cases 2 weeks before Kenosha County did. So we watched ourselves slowly get, boxed in as it came from the two urban areas that surround us. And so that is why our models are a little bit behind, because we simply didn't get cases as quickly as those larger urban areas did. But we're keeping an eye on Lake County and certainly monitoring what they're putting in place as far as they're still keeping their shelter in place through the end of May and how that will affect us with ours going through May 26th.
On Thursday, we learned that at the Kenosha County Detention Center and at the pretrial facility in the Kenosha Public Safety Building, nearly 90 inmates and 5 employees tested positive for COVID-19. Are people showing symptoms so far, Mr. Freiheit? And how many people are showing symptoms at this point, or don't you yet know?
We don't yet know. So there were 79 inmates and 5 employees, in addition to the 13 previous employees that had tested positive. And so we are in the middle of those investigations right now. We haven't even received all of their symptoms as we speak. That'll be a couple-day process because of how many people there are. But the detention center is on top of it. They had an empty wing that they're isolating those individuals into. And so they've been masking and to do the contact tracing and working with the National Guard to get testing. So we are on top of it, but as far as symptoms, I can't give that information just yet.
All right, let's take a step back now from the current news and go a little bit deeper. What is the role of public health during a pandemic like this, as opposed to every day? These don't come often, thank goodness. Jen Freiheit, what's the role of public health now?
Sure. Well, in normal times, we're doing everything from home visitation to in restaurant inspections to remediating lead in people's houses. Programs that a health department normally offers. We have 62 staff, and all 62 of those staff, irregardless of their grant funding or their former job role, are doing COVID response right now. So what that looks like is that we're an incident command. We have a positive team of about 20 nurses who are calling and doing the contact investigation and the contact tracing for every single positive that comes through Kenosha County that lives in Kenosha County. Then we have a contact investigation team, and those are the ones that are reaching out to all the businesses and people that have been in close contact with a positive case. We are doing a great deal of education. We have reached out to over 210 businesses in Kenosha County, basically helping them with education on COVID, how they can social distance, how to disinfect, how to ensure their employees are masked and washing their hands. And so our two critical missions really with all 62 staff is education and containment. So the containment comes in with the tools that we use in the public health toolbox of social distancing, isolation, quarantine, masks, PPE, all the things you hear about in the news that we're coordinating, educating through media, educating our residents. We have very active websites with data that we're putting up. And we're very successfully achieving those two missions as far as containment and education in Kenosha County.
Mary, we met, I spoke at the top of the program about what's different about a community health center and your special roles in general. What's your role now during this pandemic at the Kenosha Community Health Center?
Sure. Well, because health centers are virtually in every community in our country, community health centers, federal officials have been really relying on them to respond to health challenges like this. So because health centers, we communicate regularly. We are a part of our local incident command. We are grouped and we are coordinated at the state level through our state organization and nationally, that we actually are very connected at every level in terms of communication and coordination as being part of that federal group. So community health centers are among America's first responders in communities throughout the country, and here in Kenosha, we're part of that team for all major public health threats, and there's and natural disasters as well. So with the challenges to hospital systems across the country, our health centers stand ready to really be part of that essential team in the response strategy. So we're always here for the community. We're part of the community. We exist to be part of that.
Now, the two of you began collaborating a long time ago before this pandemic, and you talk to each other all the time, I know. But when did the collaboration for this pandemic start, and how did that happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll go first on this one. Being the community health center, and with my background as a nurse, have a lot of training in infection prevention and control. I knew my first call at the point that there was an emerging threat really was to partner with our team in public health in the community to really not only work collaboratively and share information, but also because we know that we all had different access to resources. And so Jen was my absolute first call. We knew it would be critical. And Jen immediately looped us into the larger planning process with the Emergency Operations Center. And we started out the gate really early in March.
I wonder if we could take a look now a little deeper, folks. What is the approach to testing in Kenosha County? Could you tell our listeners what the plan is, what the design is, what the criteria are, and how you're working to make progress? Maybe you would like to go first, Jen Freiheit, from the Division of Public Health.
Right. So right now, the testing sites are both of our hospitals and it's Gateway with the Community Health Center. So our approach is that we want to follow the state guidelines to be able to test anybody even with mild symptoms. And so we would like to see the facilities being able to test many more people. I know they're now able to test people prior to elective surgeries, and they're looking at supplies and being able to test many more people that approach the emergency department and approach their drive-through testing facilities. So we're hoping to ramp those up because, as I said earlier, our goal is to get to 257 tests per day within Kenosha County so that we can have much better control and accurate data of this virus. The criteria, as I said, is the state health department is really pushing for stronger, more testing, because the more we can test, the better data we have. The better data we have, the sooner we can open up our economy and open up our businesses again. So testing is the first key to making that happen.
Mary, would you like to pick that up from the Community Health Center?
Sure. Well, we are really, really at the mercy of the plan, the testing plan, and we align very tightly to the criteria and move with the criteria that are coming out by the state and working, like I said, side by side with Jen's team so that we are all using the same criteria. So we as a testing facility are really targeting ourselves as Jen's team is targeting the groups that need to be tested. So we're staying in lockstep, and that's really been our approach from day one.
We're hearing a lot now on the news and hear from you all in the local health area, and we are seeing it in the mass media, talk about contact tracing. What does that mean? How important is that? Jen Freiheit, do you want to start out? What's the purpose of contact tracing? How important is it, and where do you stand now?
Yes, so that is our main function. As a person gets tested and they are positive, the test results get put into a statewide system. And so we go in and we pull out any Kenosha County residents who have tested positive in that system, and we immediately call them. And we talk to them and ask them, where have you been? Who lives in your house? Where do you work? Were you wearing a mask when you went to that grocery store? We basically run through an entire disease investigation. It can take anywhere from 1 to 4 hours, depending upon how much a person has been out in the community. This is where we're really seeing that the safer at home order worked, because in early days, contact tracing with positives, a positive might say, well, yesterday I went to lunch with three of my girlfriends, and then I went shopping at the store, and then, you know, we had to follow up with every single one of those contacts where they could have spread the virus. And so educating them, putting quarantine and isolation orders out for their family members, for their close contacts, for their friends that they came in touch with. Now with the safer at home order, our contacts have dramatically decreased, which is a great thing. It shows that the safer at home order worked. And so right now our contacts are really pretty much just the essential service workers who are going to and from work. So really the people in the businesses who are next to other people that they're working with, and that's what we're seeing as far as contact tracing. But that gives us an opportunity to work with those businesses, help them, and get them the end of the safer at home order on May 26th. So that is our key contact tracing now, is working with businesses and helping them to eliminate spread within their workplaces.
Mary, we met. Does your organization, the Community Medical Center, have any role in this?
We provide information to the health department. There's a lot of communication via the forms that are submitted with testing, or even with our own patients. So we're on the phone on a regular basis. We have a daily touch point so that information is shared, and Jen's team will grab that as needed in terms of information into their contact tracing work.
Let's go a little bit deeper into the medical mobile response, which is, I think, the technical name for that big truck over at Gateway on 30th Avenue in Kenosha. Is there any other detail that you'd like to fill in, ladies, on the operation of this, and any role behind just this first wave testing? Are they going to be looking for antibodies? Would units like that be used for vaccinations when that might possibly happen? Would you like to pick that up, Jen and Mary? Which would like to go first? Mary, would you like to go first?
Yeah, absolutely. The KCHC Medical Mobile Response Unit was named that intentionally. Although the work of testing we knew would be the initial work, the unit is actually targeted much more broadly. And let me tell you about that. It's really targeted to support the populations that we serve at KCHC. So, and we work in partnership with other key agency and the Kenosha Division of Health, Jen's crew, that is one of many agencies that we work with and will plan to work with and coordinate with moving ahead. So the unit, in terms of even the plan, testing being the first part of it, I had also contacted and started to begin dialogue with Kenosha Human Development Services, Shalom Center, Racine Kenosha Community Action, the Urban League of Racine and Kenosha, to begin to better understand how we can work together to get at our highest risk population in our community. So the vision for the unit and how we are starting to staff the unit, it's really a dedicated multidisciplinary team that is hired and deployed to serve as the safety net for our highest risk. So we're really targeting all individuals without access to healthcare or testing services, homeless, the persistently mentally ill, people of color, undocumented immigrants, and others as we determine as we go along. The services of the mobile unit are designed to be flexible and really to evolve based on the needs that arise from each phase of the COVID-19 pandemic. So we see this as evolving, and it may be testing for several months, it may be a few months, but it may then quickly evolve to, you know, other care needs. So when we move beyond testing, it would really looking at medical treatment, mental health assessments, complex medication management, screening for dental care, and other specialty needs. So the vision is much broader. It is designed to look at the population tracking of these high-risk populations, and then really looking at coordination between agencies for the many of the same patients we all care for and serve together. So it really is a symbol for a much broader function of coordination that goes well beyond the testing and the collaboration that is going on right now around the testing program. So
that's impressive.
Thank you.
Now, is there anything you'd like to add from the County Division of Health, Jen?
Yes. Mary's crew and our crew, we see the same residents. We are both working desperately and tirelessly to help residents of Kenosha County who need help, who may not have a medical home, who need services or need special services in a special delivery way. And I know they're describing that, but we're very excited to have this partnership and to look forward to future use of the mobile medical unit to just broaden our reach and to help Kenosha County residents more. And so, yes, I agree completely. You know, this could certainly move into antibody testing in the nearer future, and then vaccination in the long range future, and even way beyond. There's so many opportunities for services and collaborative efforts, and we will keep this partnership long, long, long after we've contained coronavirus and be able to have exciting new ventures for Kenosha County.
Mary, we met over at the Community Health Center. Do you want to quickly go over the mobile unit process? How do I get a test for our listeners? A quick checklist of what they need to know, please.
Definitely. So KCHC patients, they will see our provider, and we'll talk about telehealth in a moment here. And they see the provider, and then the provider will evaluate, given the test criteria, and if it's necessary, will write an order for a test. So that all happens on the phone or via a telehealth visit before the day or the moment of testing. So whether our patients, that's their entryway. We also work daily with a referral list by Jen's team, so that that list is then mined, and then our providers will contact the individuals on that list with their contact information. And then, again, they will be evaluated. An order for the test will be written. And then so when individuals get that order, they're immediately scheduled. So on the day that they're scheduled to test or the hour they're scheduled to test, they will literally drive in. All they need to do is show an ID when they drive up. They will be on the list, and they will be tested. And at this point in time, the testing, I think the longest it's taken us to get through that process was 2.5 minutes. So it's a relatively quick process. Once the, on the day of testing, I think the process before testing is really gathering all the information that's required, individual personal information, insurance information, and then having that provider evaluation. So that all happens before the day of testing.
Is there going to be a plan to go west of I-94, perhaps?
Well, I know that we had looked for a location in the beginning that was much closer to the I-94 within the bus line. So we ended up at Gateway, which was wonderful. It's a great testing site. It's a great place to get started. I think our vision is to go wherever we need to go. Having said that, I'll work with Jen in the weeks ahead to determine if there's need, how we actually coordinate an effort to identify a site west of the I to really, you know, continue the testing there on a scheduled basis. So Jen, I'll let you kind of talk about west of the I at this point.
Yes, we have looked at the numbers of tests being run for the communities west of the I versus east of the I. And while the communities west of the I, the numbers are slightly lower, but there's not a major discrepancy among the residents getting tested on either side. However, the second part of that is that right now, because the people being tested at the mobile medical unit site are referrals only, so they're referrals coming from all parts of the county. So whether we put the testing site at Gateway or west of the I, people will still be coming from all parts of the county to get tested there. So we definitely do want to look west of the I in the future. We are working out our processes right now, and we'll continue that at Gateway with that, but we'll definitely be looking in the future how we can accommodate west of the I. It isn't just about, that's where I was just trying to make the point that it isn't just about testing. So they are getting tested as well through the various providers and testing sites.
Good. Dr. Ouimette, you were speaking earlier about the telehealth during the pandemic at the Community Health Center. You want to talk quickly about how that works and how's it successing? How's the success?
Absolutely. Telehealth really became an important tool and means of providing health care that has really come into view in a much greater way with this pandemic. Telehealth's been used for chronic care needs for a long time, and it for many reasons, payer reasons, it's not been easy to implement. Well, across this country, all health centers, providers have had to very rapidly implement telehealth because there are a number of patients who need to be seen and visualized, but they may not need to be brought in for a full visit. So we quickly, like many other provider practices, implemented telehealth. And at this time, we're doing telephone visits as well as video visits using Zoom. Now, one of the things that we learned with our population of patients in our current population is many times they don't have their technology doesn't allow them to do the video visits. So we're doing a large number of telephone visits at this point in time that are being reimbursed. So that's been an important thing. But video visits will be a thing of the future. They're highly effective for all kinds of care needs. So it's gone relatively well, but there is a learning curve, and I think many healthcare organizations are rapidly moving through that learning curve right now.
Jen Freiheit, I'm hearing a lot of commentators and medical personnel on the news programs saying that we're never going to go back. Telehealth is now a feature of the healthcare system, and that's that. Is that how you see it?
Oh, I definitely think that's part of the new normal that, you know, our culture will be getting used to. You know, there's several things between telehealth, people wearing masks more often, you know, there's many things that this will change and change for the better in our healthcare system. So it will open up new opportunities and people will be more used to those new opportunities given how quickly we were thrown into this pandemic and how we have to operate now given the constraints we have. So I do see it as a good thing.
I'd like to turn now to the general safety considerations during the pandemic and the foreseeable future. There's a lot of talk about it, some controversy, which I find very frustrating. I'd like to ask the question this way. Doctor, we met, if you were advising your family, your children, your grandchildren, your parents, your grandparents, what would you tell them to do?
Well, first and foremost, I start with the belief that knowledge is power in terms of making choices and understanding your own risks and risks of situations. So, you know, what I would, given the information we have now about this virus, the instructions that have come from so many sources, the CDC and others have continued to push that information out, the state organizations, is really social distancing and mask usage are important elements of what everybody needs to know how to properly do. And I would say understanding those principles as well as the importance of hand washing and being mindful at all times it's fundamental. So I come from a healthcare family. So we were brought up and, you know, educated around fundamentals of hand, you know, washing our hands, distance from others who may have health, you know, be contagious with health issues and that type of thing. And so those basic principles are so important for absolutely everybody. So I would most definitely start with the basics. And then obviously, as individuals need to make decisions about risk, you know, they have, my biggest fear is that people are going to be afraid to go out and do things that are important for them. So on the healthcare side, we're very concerned that people aren't seeking care or aren't doing the things, getting out, being mobile, things that keep them healthy or prevent them from bigger problems. So it's a very important line to walk in terms of, you know, helping people make good decisions, but helping them know the fundamentals is probably the most important thing as we are at this point in time moving forward and trying to make decisions about as we come out of our homes over time.
Jen Freiheit, over at the Public Health Department, what are you telling your family? You know, a lot of people think this is a little trivial that, you know, not everybody gets sick and dies, so therefore we can take our chances. What are you telling your family, friends? What are you telling the ones you love that they ought to do?
Well, my family is masked. First of all, we're never out. We have one member of our family that goes to the grocery store, and that person is masked the entire time that they're out and running those essential errands for us, and the rest of us are staying home right now. So I am not taking that risk. I mean, it's a little bit different on the public health and healthcare side is that we see all of the, you know, saddest and most traumatic cases. So we have those frontline experiences that get seared into the brain. And so we are very cautious, and we're not going against any order, and in fact, we're taking extra precautions in our house. I was just on a conference call with 140 participants through CABA, and we were basically telling them that businesses, especially post May 26th, we hope that they have policies in place that ensure that their employees, as part of that new normal, you may see when you go to a restaurant, once they start opening, that the waiters and waitresses and bartenders are wearing masks. And that's just part of how the new normal will look. It is a way, it is not a foolproof way, but it is a very strong way to keep COVID-19 from spreading. You never know who the person next to you is, if they're immunocompromised. if they have some pre-existing mental condition, and maybe that person next to you doesn't even know they have a pre-existing condition yet. So it's a way to show that you care about those in society. I mean, there are other countries around the world for years. If you're sick and you happen to be out riding the subway or going to work, that you wear a mask, and you know, you're just there protecting so that everybody else doesn't get your sickness. And so that's something I think we need to build into our culture, that it's okay, it's not taboo. While it may feel uncomfortable at the start, that we'll all get used to it, and it'll just become part of our normal lexicon and how we operate in America. And so I strongly encourage from the beginning the use of masks, and think that we have a lot of lessons to learn from other cultures who have done this for decades.
And how do people find out what's the latest information is? You've got some really great stuff on your website. You want to tell us how to get to that website very quickly?
Yes, so on the county website, if you just Google Kenosha County COVID, the county website will come up, and we are constantly updating new data. We're updating the numbers daily, Monday through Friday, and we're adding new data as we get new graphs and charts to be able to put up there. So that is the best way to see what the picture is specific to Kenosha County.
That's great. Well, I want to thank my guests today, the Kenosha County Division of Health's Director, Jen Freiheit, and the Kenosha Community Health Center's Director, Dr. Mary Wemet. They have a wonderful array of services that we all ought to be taking advantage of. And now, a personal note from me. This is not an editorial. It's my personal commentary. Everyone is at risk if everyone does not wear a mask. We are in the moral and ethical equivalent of war. This is a plague. Yes, this fits the definition of a plague. Perhaps we should use that term instead of the scientific definitions to get through to people that this is no joke. Be a hero. Wear a mask. This is not about your constitutional freedoms. We must tell our friends the simple moral and ethical truths. You do not have the freedom to yell fire in a crowded theater when there is none. You do not have the freedom to infect your children, parents, or anyone else because you think wearing a mask is uncomfortable. Past generations sacrificed much more in World War II and the Great Depression. I wonder, would the masked deniers have had the guts to survive back then? Refusing to wear a mask is, in my personal opinion, a form of negligent homicide, murder. Can we demonstrate that we are adults with the guts to sacrifice a little? Finally, every great spiritual tradition compels us all to respect our own lives and the lives of others. The golden rule must rule. For Community Matters, this is Lenai Quinta urging you to get informed and get involved in beating this new plague. Good day.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.